And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Helsinki Diocese of the Evangelical Lutheran Church has severely reprimanded a pastor for having officiated at weddings of same-sex couples and defying his church's official position. Pastor Kaj Sadima received a warning from the church on the 13th of September by a vote of 5-2 following official diocesan proceedings, reported YLFE-FI. The council that decided over Pastor Sadima's case was composed of 7 members and was chaired by Helsinki Bishop Yrjö Askola. Sadima, a former pastor of the Kallio parish near the Helsinki city centre, was the first Lutheran pastor in Helsinki to officiate over a church wedding for a same-sex couple, the report said. He officiated at the same-sex marriage on the 1st of March, the same day a new Finnish law allowed for same-sex marriages come into effect. Soon afterward, a complaint was issued, accusing the pastor of being in breach of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland's catechism and his vows as a pastor, the report said. During the diocesan proceedings, Pastor Sadima said that as a representative of the national institution, he must obey the country's laws. Sadima intends to appeal the council's sentence, as at the time of the ceremony, he was no longer the pastor at the parish, the YLFE-FI report said. The pastor said nearly 30 pastors from 8 different dioceses have officiated at same-sex unions in Finland since the law passed. While some clerics in the church said they would gladly marry same-sex couples, the official position of the majority Lutheran church in Finland is that its pastors should not officiate at gay weddings, YLFE-FI reported. The church's synod of bishops in August of last year had officially stated in a proclamation that church weddings should only be between a man and a woman, and that the priests who opposed it would face consequences. The majority of Church of England Christians don't read the Bible, the church's own polling has revealed. Figures show that 60% of self-declared followers of the church admit they never read the Bible, and 36% say they never attend church. 1 in 3 said they never pray. The figures produced by ComRes and commissioned by the church show that many of those who claim to be Christian don't actually take part in many of the activities which are normally associated with the faith. More than half of all those who identified as Christian across all denominations admitted they never read the Bible, and 1 in 3 said they never attended church. While 51% of those who took part in the survey said they were Christian, just 6% of those polled read the Bible, prayed, and attended church at least once a week. Those who said they were followers of the Church of England were the least observant. Rachel Jordan, the Church of England's National Mission and Evangelism Advisor, said the survey had been commissioned to give it a real sense of the scale of the task ahead. She said, "There are a lot of surveys out there which measure how many people nominally identify as Christians, but we as a group of leaders across denominations committed to evangelism wanted to devise a measure which shows us who the most committed people are, those who themselves might be willing to take on the task of spreading the good news of Jesus in his country. So we've been tough in our definition. There was no point of being woolly. That isn't helpful to us for the task of evangelism." Ms. Jordan added, "We are really happy when people in this country chose to affiliate with us, identifying as both Christian and Church of England, even if in practice they don't always choose to join in our churches. But this does show that we need to do more to connect with those people and explore ways to draw them into the wider church community." The figures follow data released earlier this month from the British Social Attitudes Survey, which revealed that just 15% of the population were Church of England Christians. Bishops greeted that figure with optimism, saying that it simply showed that more non-believers were willing to be honest and admit they had no faith, rather than claiming to be Church of England. Here is an analysis on Myanmar, supplied by the Barnabas Fund, a registered charity that supplies aid to Christians. As World News focuses on the plight of Myanmar's Rohingya Muslims, several people have asked whether Christians are also persecuted in Myanmar. The answer is yes. They are suffering appalling persecution and violence at the hands of the military. But unlike the Rohingya, they are largely ignored by the world's press. However, a new threat is now emerging as jihadists head to the region to support Rohingya Muslims. Several months ago, the US Commission on International Religious Freedom commissioned a report on the persecution of Christians in Myanmar. Entitled Hidden Plight, Christian Minorities in Burma, it makes shocking reading. there is large-scale violence and intimidation of Christians by the army. To quote just one short section of that report, the military routinely occupies churches and summons entire congregations for interrogations. Tatmadaw, the Burmese army troops, have desecrated, damaged and destroyed churches. The military continues to perpetrate grave human rights violations with near total impunity, including sexual violence in church compounds and the torture of pastors, church workers and ordinary civilians. To date, approximately 120,000 people have been forced to flee. The military use Buddhism as a means of legitimizing their oppressive rule, claiming to be defending Buddhism and the Bama, Burmese majority, against Muslims and Christians, who are predominantly from ethnic minority groups. As well as direct attacks by the Burmese military, they have empowered a group called the Committee for the Protection of Race and Religion, better known as Ma Ba Ta, and other ultra-nationalistic monks to incite violence and attacks on Christian pastors. The predominantly Christian people groups are the Karen people, who mainly live in the east near the border with Thailand, the Kachin and Naga, who mainly live in the north, and the Chin, who mainly live in the southwest, particularly Chin State. However, now a new threat to Christians is emerging as a direct result of the Rohingya crisis. Last October, Islamic militants from a newly formed insurgency group called Harakat al-Yaqeen launched a series of attacks on police posts in Rakhine State. Harakat al-Yaqeen was created by a group of Rohingya emigres based in Saudi Arabia and therefore represents a dangerous new development. The army responded in its characteristic heavy-handed fashion, causing tens of thousands of Rohingya to flee to Bangladesh. Then on the 25th of August, Harakat al-Yaqeen coordinated attacks on an army base and 30 police posts in the north of Myanmar's Rakhine State. In response, the Myanmar army launched what they termed clearance operations against the Rohingya, a euphemism for the terrible atrocities now being perpetrated against the Rohingya civilians. Now Al-Qaeda is urging jihadists to flock to the region to fight for the Rohingya Muslims. This is not an idle suggestion. It is in fact almost exactly what happened a few months ago in the southern Philippines when Islamic State, IS-linked jihadists from across the Southeast Asia quietly infiltrated Marawi City and then seized control of it, killing a number of Christians. Despite an ongoing battle with the Philippines military, the jihadists remain in control of Marawi. In January, Malaysian authorities claimed to have arrested an IS-linked jihadist heading for Myanmar to fight in the Rohingya area. As IS loses military control in Syria and Iraq, Al-Qaeda sees itself as having an opportunity to regain its claim to lead the global jihadi movement. That is why a few days ago, Al-Qaeda issued a statement telling jihadists in neighboring Bangladesh and India, as well as Pakistan and the Philippines, that they have a Sharia obligation to go to Myanmar and fight for the Rohingya. How does this affect Christians in Myanmar, who are already suffering appalling persecution and violence from the state? The attacks, which the Islamic militants from Harakat al-Yaqeen carried out 3 weeks ago, were in the north of Rakhine State. This is right next to Chin State, which is the only state in Myanmar that is a majority Christian. In fact, one of those attacks at the town of Mungdor were about 30 miles away. If, as now seems likely, foreign jihadists arrive and turn a local Muslim insurgency into an Al-Qaeda-linked jihadi struggle, as IS have just done in the Philippines, there is a very real danger that jihadists will attack Chin State. If they do, that will put the Christians there in an impossible situation, suffering terrible violence at the hands of the Myanmar army and being attacked by jihadists. In other words, there is a very real prospect of Christians in this part of Myanmar facing a humanitarian catastrophe that is even worse than the horrific levels of violence currently being suffered by Rohingya Muslims. In Pakistan, a Christian teenager has been beaten to death by his classmates for drinking from the same glass as a Muslim. High-flying Shamoon Masih, 17, was battered by his fellow students in a classroom in the Varahi district in Punjab, Pakistan, on just his fourth day at a new school. Shockingly, the boy's teacher was in the room when the brutal attack took place, but claims he didn't see anything because he was reading a newspaper. Shamoon's parents had saved money to send their son to MC Model Boys Government High School, Barala, and District Varahi, in an attempt to pursue higher education. From the day he started, on August the 25th, he was subjected to abuse from Muslim boys for being a Christian. His mother, Razia Bibi, warned Sharun not to mix with the boys who practice Islam after one told him, "You're a Christian, don't dare sit with us if you want to live," according to the British Pakistani Christians charity. Bibi told the British Pakistani Christians, said, "My son was a kind-hearted, hard-working and affable boy. He was also being loved by teachers and pupils alike and shared great sorrow that he was being targeted by students at his new school because of his faith. Sharun and I cried every night as he described the daily torture he was subjected to. He only shared details about the violence he was facing. He did not want to upset his father because he had such a caring heart for others. The evil boys that hated my child are now refusing to reveal who else was involved in his murder. Nevertheless, one day God will have his judgment." She told the I newspaper his loss was huge to the family with whom he shared great intimacy. Bibi accused the police of not conducting a proper investigation in the wake of her son's death. Pupils suggested the teacher overseeing the classroom had even ignored the beating, but he claimed he didn't even notice the attack because he was reading. In conflicting accounts, the head teacher said Sharun was killed in session between classes, which meant no teachers witnessed it. The boy accused of killing Sharun is allegedly claiming he went for the Christian after he smashed the screen on his foot, dismissing earlier claims it was over the 17-year-old bumping into his foot. The British Pakistani Christians charity have set up a fundraising campaign to help Sharun's family. In Australia, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has defended a church in Victoria that cancelled the wedding of a local couple after they posted their support for same-sex marriage on Facebook. The couple in their 20s, who have not been named, were to be married at the Presbyterian Church of Ebenezer St John's in Ballarat, Fairfax Media reported on Friday. Days after Turnbull announced a postal survey in August on support for legalising same-sex marriage, the young woman posted her support for marriage equality. She and her fiancé were then told by the minister, Stephen North, he would no longer marry them or allow the ceremony to be held in the church. After the premarital counselling that you attended and the sermons delivered at Ebenezer on this subject, you must surely appreciate that your commitment to same-sex marriage opposes the teaching of Christ Jesus and the scriptural position practiced by the Presbyterian Church of Australia and by me, he reportedly wrote in a letter to them. By continuing to officiate, it would appear either that I support your views on same-sex marriage or that I am uncaring about this matter. As you know, neither statement is correct. Also, if the wedding proceeded in the Ebenezer St John Church buildings, the same inferences could be drawn about the Presbyterian denomination. Such inferences would be wrong. The Victorian Premier, Daniel Andrews, said he thought he would have moved beyond that sort of prejudice, but the Prime Minister defended the minister's actions. "Churches are entitled to marry or not to marry whom they please," he said. "That is part of religious freedom. My own church, the Catholic Church, will not marry someone who has married before." According to Fairfax, the couple, who had attended the church for 10 years, told North his decision was disgraceful. "We were made aware from the beginning of our proceedings that we had gay friends, and also that people in our wedding party were gay. How could you assume that we would abandon them or degrade them with regards to same-sex marriage?" And finally, bogged down in controversy, Geneva prosecutors are investigating after toilets in a bank and three restaurants were blocked by about $100,000 in high-denomination euro banknotes, they said on Monday. "We are not so interested in the motive, but we want to be sure of the origin of the money," spokesman Vincent Derone said, adding that neither throwing money away nor blocking a toilet was a crime. The Tribune de Genève paper, which first reported the unusual deposit, said the first blockage occurred in the toilet serving the vault at UBS Bank in Geneva's financial district, and three nearby bistros found their facilities bunged up with 500 euro notes a few days later. Derun said two people had agreed to compensate the restaurants for the cost of the blockage, and the restaurants had withdrawn a complaint that they had made when the incident happened in May. The cash was confiscated during the investigation, and it was unclear who would get it if it was found to be lawful. "There was no immediate reason to think it was dirty money," Derun said. The European Central Bank said last year it decided to discontinue the 500 euro note because of concerns it was being used too often for illicit activities, including money laundering. Officials are said to be po-faced. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you, and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone, and internet radio receiver, this is Luther and Radio UK.